The theme text for my discourse today, and I'm going to use the NAS translation. It's a familiar scripture. In his great mercy, giving hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, great mercy. The Apostle Paul that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by you. The resurrection of Jesus brought strength and unity to the early church. Following the crucifixion, the disciples were as dead men. All that they had toiled and hoped for had suddenly vanished, and they were plunged into gloom. And to restore the glories of Israel, lay dead in the tomb. Christ rose from the dead. He gave to his followers new life, which they had never known before. Powerless, they became happy, full of spiritual vitality, and imbued with the faith which weathered many a storm of persecution. Witnesses of his resurrection. The change which took place in the early disciples is perhaps the strongest historical evidence for the resurrection. The power which had wrought Son of God, that same power became available for the spread of the gospel by Jesus' followers. There had not been, nor ever could be, a religious faith, anything like that which surrounded the gospel of Christ. It was quite different from the philosophies of men, the East. The latter were based upon intellectual knowledge, argument, and ethics. Even the members of the personal relationship with God, which they in the Church of Jesus Christ, however, there was a faith based on revelation and power from it. What was the explanation for these things? What was it that was so different in these men and women that the eternal Creator of the universe should confer so great a privilege? God was able to work in and through the early Christians because they had and complete dependence on God. Philosophical or religious have often advanced the doctrine of self. Expression can be taken to extremes. And in heart, trusting God for everything, whether it was their daily physical needs or the virtues to be developed in their characters. Such a condition of mind is the result of a new relationship to God based upon redemption through Jesus and maintained by constant prayer with God. By these things, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ was given to his first followers and to every true disciple from that time until now. Prayer played a large part in the Master's life, and he frequently resorted to communion with his Father in order that he might know God's will. When faced with an important decision, he resorted to fellowship with his Father. Therein lay the success of his ministry. He could truly say that he and the Father were one. They had one will and purpose. For example, before Jesus and the 12 apostles, he went out into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. Not my will, but thine be done. That was the Lord's life on earth. He had no ulterior motives. Once I read the story of a young boy who was present. His sister said, "You don't have to. God isn't deaf." To this her brother, "But Grandma is." One's prayers. The supplicant must realize that if his request is to be granted, it must plead God's word have no favor with him. The one who prays can and to God's revealed will. Thus, statements regarding the asking of anything, as indicated in John 16:23, such statements are not to be taken out of context. The word anything clearly brings reason to believe are not pleasing to God. John states, "This is the confidence that we have toward him, that no matter what it is that we..." Materialistic desires and ambitions are probably governed more by self-will than God's will. The history of the activities of the early church reveals a group of people who had learned to apply the lessons of prayer taught by Jesus. They all continued with one accord in Jesus. After Pentecost, the same attitude was reflected in chapter 2, verse 42, where it reads, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." In Acts 3, we catch a glimpse of Peter and John going up to worship at the temple at the hour of prayer. In chapter 4, we are given considerable information about a prayer meeting in the early church, and so great was their intercession and God's presence that the very building where they met was shaken. Returning to Acts 4, verses 32 and 33, we find that the multitude of them that believed were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles, and great grace was upon them all. Later, to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Still further, Luke relates how Peter was in John Mark's home, and we find that in Acts 12. So the early Christians at prayer, after the Holy Spirit was outpoured at Pentecost, were accompanied by a display of divine power operating through God's people. On some occasions, it was the ministry of healing in Israel, through whom God usually worked. Although men of learning like Paul and Luke gave themselves to his service of his kingdom. Throughout his epistles, Paul repeatedly exhorted those to whom he wrote, coupled with this prayer, through prayer hitherto unknown among the disciples. They wished, but God had not looked at the outward appearance. These men and women from all walks of life were welded purpose, energized by a single Jesus crucified and resurrected. This he prayed before his death. It was an example often taught them. It was the love which you like. The unity of the early Christians, it ignored national and racial barriers. Jews and Gentiles, rulers and slaves, not by their former associations, but as fellow heir common bond. Repeated exhortation necessary, and even then, occasional failure in their unity. Chapter 1. Of Christ controls us, because we for all have died, and he died for all, that those who live, him who for their sake died and was raised, a human point of view. And we find 14 and 16 of chapter 5. His brethren must completely abolish personal opinion and ambition must be subordinate to one another. The Apostle Paul learned from the Lord that my grace is sufficient. Therefore, Paul was able to say, Mummies, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Bodily weakness should not hinder us from obeying energy in heaven, which is sufficient for every outstanding examples of this than Peter on the day rest of the disciples. He had stumbled three times, then in the power of the Spirit, he became a man death for Jesus. The outward manifestations was in their witness to the world. By their preaching and healing, they continued the work changed. And the God that lived in the only alteration has been in the faith of the believers. It still requires implicit trust so that the Lord will honor his promise. The name it now and again, as he had opportunity, the same thing. The apostles were hardly eager. The Lord led them forth from Jerusalem unto the uttermost. We of this generation must ask ourselves, what are we, new set of rules? The power of his now is pictured for us in the words of the Father, in words, this my son was dead, and in sin, and become his children. The same thought, the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear him from death, and which was to empower his disciples back from death. For he said, the hour is coming. It was a wonderful moment to which Jesus looked forward, to the day of life to all who had ever fallen asleep. When we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages, Christ Jesus, that's Ephesians 2, 4 to 7 from the. Is it a thing, the Bible's teaching clear, this resurrection hope, the toll of the condemned, it took me to live, which right he sanctified in death, that life Christ gave, he took not back. It's to justice given, shall lift from man the incredible. God's power shall. Figures predominantly in the Bible. Few other topics of the resurrection of the dead. In Apostle 24, verse 21, Paul wrote, touching the in Acts 17:32, it is written that when the men of Athens heard about the resurrection of the dead, or indicates that Christ was proved or power by the resurrection from the taught the people and preached through Jesus, the reached unto them Jesus. And the resurrection. And I count all things but loss, that I may resurrection, if by any means I move the dead. are declared that there shall be a resurrection. We find that in Acts 24:15. The basis of our hope is confirmed by our sins and by his resurrection from the dead, for had withered at the time of the crucifixion. But where hope is not only for those now justified, but it includes sinful and unjustified. The resurrection him. Revelationly are all they that have part in the first. The second death has no power over them, but they will be and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. The first resurrection is not only first in order of time, but first in the sense of being the chief one. It includes our Lord Jesus and all the overcomers of this gospel age. It is the chief, the highest, the most desirable resurrection. The word in the original strictly means first in order or quality. First class resurrection. It is chief in that it is a resurrection of perfection, of being on the highest of all planes, the divine plane. It is for those who are given glory, honor, and immortality. The rewards will be so far superior to the resurrection which will be granted to the remainder of the human race. Several years ago, during my tenure as a director of student activities at an Albuquerque high school, I was asked to give the eulogy at the funeral of one of the school's cheerleaders. This young lady was killed in an auto accident that also resulted in the near death of a fellow cheerleader. With the Lord's help, I chose the following words from one of our familiar hymns for my closing remarks. I thought it was most appropriate for the occasion, testifying to the scriptural explanation of death and resurrection. And I will also end my comments now with words that this is what they say. When we see a precious blossom from our bosom, how our aching hearts despair. Sun is low. Feeling all our hopes of perish, yes, they sleep, but not forever in the lone and silent grave. Blessed promise, they shall waken. Jesus died, the lost to save. In the dawning of the morning, when this troubled night is o'er, all these dead to life returning will rejoice to see once more. Hallelujah. What a prospect. Amen.